Hey, it's Sean.
Hey, it's Bree.
And this is I Can Explain,
the podcast where we answer the questions that you are too afraid to ask.
And this week's topic is something neither of us know about. pretty privilege.
I was waiting for that. Yeah. I was like, he's going to roast me at the beginning of this.
I roasted myself there.
That's true. We got each other on this one.
At least I do know more about it than you would, but yes.
No, yeah. Sean and I were trying to think of what to talk about today, and we realized that a lot of what has irritated us lately kind of comes back to this pretty privileged thing. Specifically, I guess... Actually, you know what? Before we kick it off, before we go guns a-blazing, yeah, if you will.
You can see how little pretty privilege affects us at Sean.Lusk and Brianne Williamson.
Thank you. Oh my god, that was refreshing. I didn't even have to do the plug today.
Yeah.
But we also want to thank our patron, Aiden, for supporting this podcast. Thank you so much for being so generous and sponsoring us. And also, if you are listening and you want to support us in some way, there are so many different ways you can do so. You can follow or subscribe wherever you're listening. You can send us our podcast to friends. You can post it on social media. You can tag us at I Can Explain Podcast or personally at Sean.Lusk and at Brianne Williamson. And over on Instagram at I Can Explain Podcast, there's a link in the bio. You can buy our merch. You can become a patron yourself. There's a lot of cool tiers over there. So yeah, any support we really, really appreciate. Let's get into it.
For as little as $2 a month, you too can sponsor
this.
An Uggo.
Oh my god. So yeah, like, let's just dive right in. This is obviously something that appears all over the place.
Yeah.
But specifically, I think a lot of it has bubbled to the surface.
Don't get too specific now.
Okay.
It's not every 10 on the 5.
It has bubbled to the surface because of the pandemic and COVID-19. And we've talked about before, you know, cancel culture. We've talked about how we disagree with a lot of influencers and the choices they're making during COVID-19. But today we want to talk about something that is the fact that we're seeing a lot of people get the pass simply because of how they look.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating.
Totally.
So recently, there was this whole debacle that a lot of people know about called, what was it, the Instagram called? Gaze Over COVID?
Gaze Over COVID, yes.
Yeah, so Gaze Over COVID was an Instagram account basically tracking this group of gays that all went down to Puerto Vallarta for New Year's Eve. And they were all partying down there, a lot of which were nurses. And it was a big yikes, right?
Shangela from Drag Race is there.
Wasn't Todrick there too?
Todrick.
There's many people. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of people that went down there. And something that was very notable about this crowd in particular of influencers.
Pretty low body fat percentage.
Yes. That was something that very much joined them together.
Yes, yes, yes.
Besides the complete lack of empathy for other human beings, and the selfishness,
mm-hmm.
they also were all very fit and stereotypically good looking.
Yes. And predominantly, but not completely, white.
Yes, exactly. So, obviously, this was frustrating for so many different reasons. We've talked about it before, so we won't go too far into it again, how we disagree with choices about, you know, traveling and etc. We've already done that. Go listen to other episodes. But this brought something else to the surface. And it was when I was sharing about this happening and disagreeing about it in my stories, I actually had quite a few people respond to me and very particularly say, the unfortunate part is they won't lose any followers because they have six packs, or such a yikes to see, unfortunate that people will just consider them still the hot gays of the internet.
Yeah.
And that was like, that really hit home for me because there was also some queer women that were traveling and doing all sorts of things that people were kind of just giving this pass to. And before that, I guess I really hadn't put my finger on the fact that for a lot of people, I think especially in the queer space, if they follow somebody that they think is hot, they will give them so many passes.
Yeah.
in some cases, an infinite amount. And the unfortunate reality is not only would these people not have the platforms they do if they weren't generically attractive, because I don't really see a lot of value coming from their platforms otherwise. But even so, when they do have these platforms, they're not using them in productive ways or to bring value. They're actually, like, being very dangerous about what they're promoting. And then people are just like, oh, but I think they're hot.
Yeah.
And every time it happens, one of these, like, you know, super hot lesbians, gay men, you know, just a queer person in general who people look up to as being really attractive, does something that is just undeniably unacceptable. And you watch their followers and they go up.
Yeah. So I think especially for gays over COVID, mm-hmm. and specifically Venmo Gate, which I don't know if you know about.
No, what's Venmo Gate?
So Venmo Gate is, okay. There is a gay fitness influencer.
Okay.
And his name is Sam Cushing.
Okay.
And he is known for being like a ripped, white, hot gay.
Okay.
And he basically, he's like a Lululemon ambassador, and he has, okay. fitness videos and all this shit. Mm-hmm. So when people were starting to realize that a bunch of people were heading down to Puerto Vallarta,
right.
In a pandemic, mm-hmm. He was not posting. He probably was a slight bit smarter than some other people. He was not posting that he was in Puerto Vallarta.
Right.
However, there is a little app called Venmo that people can send requests for money.
Okay.
And I guess, like, if your friends, or I don't know if they're public, we don't really use Venmo in Canada.
Right.
So maybe Americans know. But I don't know if, like, Venmo requests are public, or if you're friends with that person that it shows that it's coming through, or I don't know. Anyways.
Okay.
People found a bunch of Venmo requests and Venmo transfers, mm-hmm. that were, like, ATV, Mexico House, PV, like all of these things.
Oh my
from this influencer and his friends relating to Mexico. So people basically piece together, and also his best friend, mm-hmm. who is a influencer gay nurse, who is also just white, ripped,
yeah.
gay nurse, didn't turn off his Facebook location.
Mm.
So it was literally his best friend was in Puerto Vallarta, yeah. based on his Facebook.
Oh my
and
God.
Then the Venmo receipts, it was kind of hard to deny that he was there.
Right.
So he went private. He has like 580 something yeah. thousand followers, mm-hmm. and he went private on Instagram, which is like, at that point, like, what are you gonna
do? What are you hiding at this point? Like,
also, like,
I'll just go private for a week. I'll be good.
If 500,000 people are following you, like, if anybody wants information from your page,
yeah.
somebody's going to be able to get it.
100%.
You know, you can't, like, the cup is overflowing. You can't scoop it back in.
Yeah.
And so I've been watching his followers, and they have been going down. But then you'll look one day, and they'll be up, and then they'll go down, and then they'll be up,
yeah.
and then they'll go down. And it's frustrating because things like this happen where people are put into the spotlight, they're trending on Twitter, mm-hmm. they're trending all over, for something bad that they did.
Yeah.
Like, they're in the news for not a good reason.
Right.
However, people that aren't reading, mm-hmm. as to why they are trending,
right.
will see this person, find their social media, be like, gay hot, like,
yeah,
the
totally.
Caveman they are,
yeah.
and just follow them.
100%.
So it's like, it's like a double-edged sword,
yeah.
because people want to call these influencers uh-huh. out, but then people that have never heard of them are
like, who's that person?
Exactly.
Like, for example, before this, I had no idea who this person was.
Exactly, and now you're going to follow him because he's hot.
I am definitely not going to follow him, but I did go and look at his page to
yeah.
see if I could, like, see anything, right?
Yeah.
So it's like all these new eyes are on somebody. And it goes back to the, like, old saying, like, any, like,
publicity is good.
Is good.
But that, you know, that saying.
You know.
Any publicity is blah, blah.
Y'all know
as
that
they
timeless
say. Yeah. Classic.
Is good publicity. Wow. We're not even going to try and get through
no.
that. We're just going to move on. Yeah. Because, yeah, all these people were, like, and now they also had lots of, like, mainstream media outlets covering it that otherwise they would only ever be talked about on Instagram. So it brings them a whole new level of, like, notoriety.
Yeah.
So it's a whole thing. And I just, like, I honestly, I've thought about this. I don't know what's worse. I don't know if it's worse to know morally, mm-hmm. to a certain extent, that you're doing something wrong. So you try and hide it. Like
right.
he did.
Yes.
Because you're like, this is wrong and I don't want to promote it, but I'm going to do it anyways.
Yeah.
Or is it worse to be so, like, dumb that you do it and you actually think it's okay to do and you promote it to your following?
I think the first one is worse, because if you know that you're doing something wrong and know that you should be, or that you are going to hide it because it will have backlash, why are you doing it in the first place?
Exactly. Like, if you're doing something right now that you know people, like, you have to, like, minimize it because, or, like, hide it or not post about it.
Yeah.
Because it's that bad. Like, you know it's bad.
Like,
already.
If you know
you
in your,
have the answer.
If you know in your caveman monkey brain that you shouldn't be going to Puerto Vallarta in a pandemic because it'll be frowned upon.
Yeah.
Maybe just instead of hiding going to Puerto Vallarta, you just don't go to Puerto Vallarta. Yeah.
No shit, eh?
Yeah.
So that
Wait,
was...
you know okay, what isn't yeah. even... Sorry.
Nope,
shut
go
up.
Ahead. You do you. You do you. This is your platform. We're talking about the gays for
absolutely.
Once.
This is... This was even worse than any of that.
Okay.
Something that I witnessed.
Okay.
On gay Twitter this week. So if people have been paying attention to any of the internet recently or any news, they would know that there was some insurrection happening in the States.
Yep.
And a bunch of Trump supporters stormed the Capitol like we are in Hunger Games. Like, it is so disgusting, insane, horrific, all of these things. I don't want to get into it. I'm not American. It's just not the part of the point of the podcast.
Yeah.
Anyways, there was probably the most highly publicized insurrector. I don't know if that's what they're called, but that's what he's called now.
Insurrector.
Yeah.
The insurrector.
Yeah. The one with, like, the weird hood.
Okay, yes.
And, like, the one that literally looked like Mad Max.
Yes, yes.
You know?
Yeah. I know exactly what you're
So he was all in the news.
Uh-huh.
And then a bunch of gays were like, I still would, though. Like, I know it's bad, but I kind of would, though.
Oh, God.
And I'm like, how do you not see that this person is trying to overthrow, in a coup, a government, and is so dangerous and horrific and absolutely probably homophobic.
And racist.
And
all
racist.
Of the
above. And, like, anti-Semitic. And, like, even if he isn't, he's with these people that are. And I'm like, and you're still thirsty. Like, if
you're
that is not the epitome of pretty privilege, and he was not even that hot. I'm like, guys,
the
come bar's on.
Low.
Yeah. Like, go to any trailer park and you could find someone that looks just like him.
Diamond does.
Yeah. I'm like, that was horrific to me. And that is when I'm like, wow, like,
scary.
It's scary. And also, it's times like that that I'm like, do I relate to gay people?
No, I know. And that's the thing that happens. So, like, one of the types of messages I was getting was the acknowledgement that the unfortunate part about this is, no matter what, they're going to still have a brand. They're still going to have a huge following. It'll probably actually end up growing.
Yeah.
Whatever. So people acknowledging that. The flip side of the coin that I was getting, because I finally decided to do a blanket statement on my Instagram story about how I disagreed with any influencers doing XYZ. And I said it didn't matter how close they were to me. I was going to start putting my words into actions and not following or promoting or associating with anyone doing things that I thought were fucked up during a pandemic.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to be honest, before then, like, obviously you have certain friends that make certain choices and you're like, oh, I can't unfollow them though. Or I can't, like, you know, publicly say something about them though, because, like, I don't know, it's just, it feels a little too close to home. It's easy as someone on the internet to throw a stone at someone that you've never actually personally talked to or exchanged a phone number with or have a personal connection with. That's easy to do.
Yeah.
Because you're just behind a computer, you know that person's probably not going to read even your comment out of the thousands of comments and whatever. It's a different level of being like, okay, I've really got to put my foot down when you're doing that to, like, the people that you follow that you know are going to notice it because they know who you are too.
Right.
Right. So anyways, I put this statement out, this blanket statement, and I expressed how a big part of the disappointment for me was that anyone in this year who's making choices like that, to me, it's disgusting. It's very self-centered, egotistical. The list goes on. I think it's gross. But we've talked about this before. When you are part of a marginalized group yourself, it's like an added layer. Because to me, it's one thing to be like a straight cis person making these choices, but it's another thing to be someone who is part of a group that has been affected even more so by the pandemic, you know, like just any marginalized group is going to take something like COVID-19 harder because they already had it harder when it came to getting jobs in the workforce.
Totally.
And, you know, making an income and being respected and all these other things. So right now, like, our community is being hit really hard. Like, our bars are the first to close. Our people are the first to lose jobs.
Yeah. Also, it's like our bars are the first to close. They might not have enough money because there's not the massive amounts of people going to them when they do open.
Yeah.
So, like, they're the first to close and maybe the first to permanently close.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, there's been a ton of hardship in our community. So, for me specifically, seeing people that not only are queer identifying, but also have a platform where I think that you should have some sort of understanding that what you do is going to, you know, promote it to your following. There's a certain responsibility there, no matter which way you slice it. And then on top of that, like, a lot of them were local to Vancouver. And I'm like, this is my community. Like, I am seeing firsthand the people that are being affected by this.
Yeah.
I am seeing the businesses close as you walk down the street. And you literally just don't fucking care because you think that you are somehow better than everyone else. And even though everyone else doesn't get to do it, you get to do it.
Yeah.
And I think that's fucked up.
Hey, Gabers. This episode is brought to you by Book of the Month. If you're a longtime Gaber, you know that I am far from a consistent reader, but Book of the Month just might change that. Book of the Month makes the process that I find daunting, finding a new book, fun and special, with new releases at the beginning of every month. I often find deciding on a title overwhelming, but Book of the Month's team curates a list full of exciting options, often from new and upcoming authors. This month, I chose The Return of Ellie Black by Amiko Jean, which I'm really excited to dig into. I love a mystery thriller, and I love a twist. I was debating between this title and Middle Tide by Sarah Crouch, and honestly, it was the first time in years that I was having a battle of the books. So this month, get your first book for $5 with the code PETALS, PETALS, at bookofthemonth.com. That's PETALS, PETALS, at bookofthemonth.com.
I could go on about that for days. I have no respect for those people. It's slate is wiped clean. And something interesting that came out of that is while I had the side of the coin that was saying, I agree with you, and the shame is that they'll still have a following, I had the other side of the coin coming into my inbox, DMs, defending them.
Nice.
And being like, oh, well, they had a tough year, so they deserved a tropical vacation.
Nope.
Or like, oh, but, you know, they always make me laugh in their TikToks or, like, whatever it may be. And I'm like, y'all need to fucking wipe your glasses.
Yeah.
Like, seriously. Like,
wipe the hot steam
off of them. Take your rose-colored glasses off about this individual just because you've liked them or their content. You have to start giving them the same expectations as everyone else. Just because you think they're hot or you like their content or you think they had a hard year or they went through a breakup or they blah, 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 boo fucking who.
Like, your glasses are steamy. You think it's because they're hot, but you know what else is hot? Steaming piles of turd.
Literally. And I responded to one of the people that wrote me like a whole thing, and they were respectful in what they were saying, and that, you know, they ended it off very sweet and was like, of course, it's just my opinion, blah blah blah. And I responded, I was like, honestly, I couldn't disagree more.
Yeah.
Because the fact that you're giving this person a pass because you're equating being able to travel to, like, them having some, like, tough times, which I put in air quotes, because I'm like, sorry, a breakup or like a, oh, I haven't gone and seen the sun in a minute, or oh, I don't remember the last time I got to stay in a 5-star hotel, is not tough fucking times.
Yeah.
Oh, my, you know, I got in a fight with my YouTube collab friend and like now, no, this is what you see on YouTube that you, that's your entertainment. Let's think about the real world tough times that are happening. Let's think about the people that have lost their jobs, people who have died, the amount of mourning going on, the grief, the amount of loss in the past year,
yeah,
like that has happened for people. Like those people, I promise you, are not having a tough year. I am not having a fucking tough year in comparison to what people are going
totally
through.
Totally, yeah.
People do not know where their next fucking meal is coming from. And it's so backwards that these people get a pass because they have followers or because they're good looking. And it's fucked.
Well, I think a good, and the gaze over COVID, oh no.
No.
Oh.
I'm good.
Okay.
Sean thought I was crying.
I did think you were crying. Okay. Yeah. Tears of fiery anger.
Tears of rage.
Yeah. The Gaze Over COVID page posted a super, I think, interesting story from a gay influencer who is paraplegic.
Okay.
And he directly, and I think that it relates in basically every facet.
Yeah.
He said, we need to start calling this for what it is.
Yeah.
It's ableist.
Yeah, it is.
And true. I think that being ableist and pretty privileged are intrinsically tied together.
Very true.
The fact that you can say, I deserve to be doing this, I can do this. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not seeing elderly people going on vacations. You're not seeing, like, you know, it's just, like, so frustrating.
Yeah, you're like, here I am in my able body with my money in the bank because I haven't lost my job.
Yeah.
And my business isn't failing and no one's dying in my life. So I get to get on a plane and go travel wherever, God knows where, during the pandemic.
And I am a pessimist in this sense because I truly believe that these people know the psychotic nature of how followings work, and they know that not only will they face huge consequences, they could grow from this.
Totally.
But not mentally or spiritually.
No. They
that
know
growth
that
is
grow
gone.
Followers.
Yeah.
Like, that's the messed up thing is, these people know when they're making that decision, they know, oh, I'm going to get some grief about this, but I'm going to use XYZ excuse.
Yeah.
I guarantee they've already got it planned what they're going to say. Oh, well, I got tested before.
It was just me and 3,000 of my closest friends on a private island.
I just went to 15 countries, but while I was there, things weren't actually that bad. Oh, well,
oh,
I
a
didn't
good
know
one. A
before
good one that what? We've seen
oh, what?
Is.
Oh,
I was going to support families that couldn't survive without my tourism.
Oh my God. I'm like, send a check.
Literally.
No.
I'm like, I think you can Venmo down there. a good Venmo gate.
Seriously. So, like, that's the thing is, like, they, like, best believe, listeners, do not be duped. Best believe that these people know what they're doing. They know that they're going to get some backlash. They've already figured out what they're going to say when they get that Venmo. They've probably made it make sense in their own brain, honestly.
Oh, they've also figured out the timeline on when it will be acceptable to post their Mexico hole pics.
Yeah, 100%. And they'll do it anyways. And then they'll do it because they know that they won't lose anything.
Yep.
Which is the most fucked up thing of it all, is at the end of the day,
they know there's nothing on the line.
They know that there's nothing on the line. They know that they're maybe going to have to deal with some online grief, and then in 1 month, 2 months, everyone's gonna be on to the next thing. They're gonna still have followers and maybe even more.
Yeah.
And that's the fucked up thing. We need to start holding these people accountable. Put your money where your mouth is. And when I say money, I mean
fists.
I mean, when I say money, I mean follows, likes, engagement.
Yeah.
Because that is what pays these people. And these people have these platforms and get to spew all this fucking garbage to other people that are going to listen to them and think it's okay because they're doing it. And it's fucked up. And I want to segue off of this to Pretty Privilege, which is, we'll get a little bit out of the way of the COVID stuff, but it kind of links in.
I know. How tired are people of this
people
fucking
are like,
COVID
fuck
talk?
Off.
They're like, being gay.
Yeah, they're like, be gay. We get it. Be ugly and gay already. We get that you're miserable. You haven't
Come
gone on a tropical vacation and smile
Shut
already.
Shut up.
Okay, Gabers, we're going to take a quick break to tell you about something that we've recently experienced. And yes, I say experienced because Magic Spoon, the cereal, is incredible and you need to hear about it. So growing up, I was obsessed with cereal, but as I got older, it was super sugary and way too sweet for me. So it kind of lost that fun vibe, but the nostalgia of having a bowl of cereal is still there, which is why we're so excited to find Magic Spoon. Magic Spoon has four flavors: cocoa, fruity, frosted, and blueberry. My personal favorite is cocoa, and it tastes amazing, but it has 0 grams of sugar and only 3 net grams of carbs in each serving. Plus, it has 11 grams of protein. It's keto friendly, gluten friendly, grain free, soy free, low carb, and GMO free. Basically, it's incredible, and you can go to magicspoon.com/explain right now to grab a variety pack and try it today. Be sure to use our promo code explain at checkout to get free shipping, which is huge. I hate paying for shipping. So again, you can go to magicspoon.com/explain and use the code explain for free shipping on a variety pack of Magic Spoon. Thank you so much to Magic Spoon for sponsoring this podcast. Let's get back to it.
I want to talk about, it links to social media, the phenomenon that is TikTok.
I know.
I've talked about this before a few times.
Have you?
But TikTok is unique.
Plug yourself. Come
okay,
on.
Okay, on TikTok, Brianne Williamson, over 140,000. Thank you very much.
I mean, the worst part is that there's still the underscore there.
I know, but someone took Brianne Williamson.
Well, sue them. I don't know. Solve it. It'd be better if it was Brianne underscore Williamson.
You just forget my last name. It'd be better if it was Brian Williams.
It would. I would follow would. Brian.
Okay. Brian will consider changing it over.
Perfect.
Yeah. TikTok's an interesting platform because, as we all know, as we've talked about, there's been so many people that have grown so quickly this year.
Yeah.
People that started 2020, when I say this year, I mean like the last 365 days. When this whole pandemic started, so many people that now have like hundreds of thousands, if not millions of followers, had zero.
Mm-hmm.
That is like the craziest amount of growth. Yeah, me on TikTok even. Yeah. I went from zero to 140,000.
And you're not even pretty. I'm kidding.
I swear.
I actually do think you're very pretty.
Thank you. Yeah. That's so nice. Fuck you, though.
Yeah, I get that.
So on TikTok, like, it's crazy amount of growth for people, right? And all these people that... It's unique to other platforms where you kind of get to know people. Like, for example, when YouTube was starting off, all these people were showing their lives. So you're getting to hear them talk. You're getting to see them vlog. You find out where they live. You hear what they like to do, what they talk about. Like, you get a personality idea. You can kind of, like, get
if
an energy.
If their parents were politicians that were Trumpers, D'Amelios. But now it's like, didn't even know
Exactly. Yeah. So, like, even on Instagram, like, you'd get a sense of where people lived, like, the backgrounds, like, what they're doing, like, maybe their pictures with their friend groups. But with TikTok, it was so unique because people are, like, during the pandemic, trapped in their room.
Yeah.
They're just in front of, like, a blank wall. They're not doing anything. They're just lip-syncing to other people's songs. And I'm not knocking TikTokers because I do it, too. Like,
you
I
are
enjoy
one.
Doing
yeah.
that for
the
fun.
The call's coming from inside the house again.
Seriously. Yeah. Like, I enjoy making TikToks like that. I have a good time doing it.
Yeah.
So I'm not knocking that. The interesting thing is it's not the content being bad, which, I mean, it's pretty cringe. But that's a different conversation. Yeah. But
I think it might exactly be this conversation, though.
But the issue to me is that all these people have gained so many followers that only know them for one maybe very niche thing.
Yeah.
So, like, TikTok is so unique in that, like, there's people that literally just post about, like, them holding a different potato every day. And they have, like, 3 million followers.
Though.
Oh, that's great. Great stuff. And, or there's people that just do dance videos and they have, like, you know, a couple million followers.
I will say, though.
Okay, yeah.
Like, I do follow that kid that just, like, hangs out with possums.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that
And
one.
I know
so
if
great.
I deep dived,
You know.
He's not good.
You know. He's
bad.
Not good.
He's bad. A bad one.
Yeah, he's a bad one.
But I do love those possums.
You do love them. I know. And see, this is the problem.
I know. I'm the problem.
No, this is the problem because all these people have all these followers that actually know nothing about where they stand, who they are, morally. They don't even have a sense of it, really. There's certain ones you can kind of like, you're like, oh. I'm not going to deep dive too far because I almost don't want to find out.
Yeah.
But
I don't want to find out that all those possums are Trumpers.
So
but they have the pretty privilege.
They do. So something that we're learning is like now these TikTokers that have got like hundreds of thousands are growing on like platforms like Instagram or YouTube, where people are seeing more of their lives and their life choices. And their life choices are little yikes.
That is personally one of my favorite things. When they're like, hey guys, I'm going to open more up about my life. And then they do, and people are like, no. Shut her down.
We like it better when you just dance. Yeah,
just dance, just sweetie. Like the D'Amelios literally getting a fucking reality TV show.
I know.
And I'm like, you guys, like, you have problematic political views. Not an ounce of personality in either of them.
Neither of them.
Especially Dixie.
Yeah.
Like, Dixie literally has the personality of, like, a 12-year-old boy. Like, her picking her nose. Like, when they were like, we're gonna let people into our lives. Dinner series!
Oh,
and then that video becoming the most talked about part of their career.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is what happened.
This is what happens. They should have just stuck to it. Stuck to what you know.
Yeah.
Stuck to what's working.
Yeah.
So there's all these people now that the interesting thing that's happened is they get all these followers because they're hot or for like a really niche joke that they make over and over on TikTok, whatever it is. And once again, good for you. You're growing, whatever. On TikTok, not spiritually or mentally. And then they're doing things in their real life, like not using their platforms to talk about important issues, making really dangerous choices like traveling during pandemics, like not
going
giving,
to the Bahamas like, with all of their influencer friends.
Yeah, not giving.
Can you tell
a
I
want
to fight the D'Amelios right now?
Yeah, like not giving a fuck about people, and like it's like everyone's like, oh my God, I'm so shocked because they made me smile on TikTok every day. I'm like, are you that shocked? Because you knew nothing about them. You just knew that they were good looking. And like,
but the thing is, I'm like, is somebody dancing really making you smile?
I don't know.
The only things that I like fully smile at on TikTok are like when raccoons are like on chandeliers and stuff. Because that video is iconic.
But like, I can think of one influencer off the top of my head that is a queer woman influencer.
Mm-hmm.
And she grew huge
on
TikTok.
The vibes.
Yeah, the vibes. The vibes.
Yeah.
grew huge on TikTok. And then proceeded to, like, literally since March, get on a plane every month to different locations, going to bars, going to meeting different people because she was so excited that she, like, had followers and clout. She wanted to go do all that stuff and, like, totally disregarded anyone's safety. And then, like, has consistently been traveling. And not only traveling, but telling people that they're fucked up for disagreeing with her and what she's doing.
Well, it's just not their truth.
It's just not their truth. Oh, God. And then there's, like, the whole other side is, like, people, like, using it for, like, monetary benefit, like people filming YouTube videos while traveling and meeting people and like making videos like that, and it's like, you're not even supposed to fucking be there. What are you doing? It's just like, it's made me like really grossed out, to be honest. It's made me grossed out about the influencer community because I do think there's something detrimental about like all these people like blindly telling you that you're awesome all the time, and you get such a big ego that you just think that you are different than other people and you get to make these choices even though it's not like right.
Yeah, I think people get, like, a weird, like, invincibility complex.
Yeah, 100%.
That they're above you. And the one thing that really has, like, probably been the worst part of this whole pandemic, even though I know we're trying not to talk about it again, but here we are. Here we are. I did it. I have lost, and I did not have a lot to begin with. I've lost a lot of faith in, like,
me too.
A lot of people.
Me too.
And I'm not even one of those people that claims to see the good in everybody.
I know.
Like, I was never that bitch. I always see the worst in people. And it's gotten even worse. Like, I just, yeah, I feel grossed out by a lot of things that people are doing.
Same.
I feel a lot of people, even people in a decently close circle to me.
Yeah.
Not like a I mean, it's you. I just, like, I find so many people are so exploitative and clout hungry. Yeah. And, you know, it's just, it's been really hard to see the good in a lot of people when they're shoving the bad in your face.
I know.
Yeah.
And a lot of those people, unfortunately, let's bring it back,
are pretty. Yeah. And that's what is so frustrating. It's just like, at the end of the day, there won't be consequences for these people.
No.
Because they're pretty.
And I want to validate anyone out there that's, like, ever been told, like, no, it doesn't make a difference, you're pretty, things are still, blah, 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 blah. If you are not generically attractive, your life is going to be more difficult.
Yeah.
Because bottom line, if someone is just generically pretty, there's all sorts of different types of attractiveness, and I think everyone is beautiful in their own way. But you, everyone listening knows what I'm talking about. The generic cookie cutter pretty individual, where it's like, that person that's, like, on your TV screen or walks into a party and you're like, everyone just, no matter what their type is, would think that person is pretty. Those people already get the benefit of, they walk in the room and people already assume that they're cool or someone that they want to get to know.
Yeah.
Or support. Because they appear attractive. Mm-hmm. And it's just, like, human nature. It's just built into us that like, equates, like, coolness or, like, a good person.
Because
they are, like, attractive to the eye. And unfortunately, like, I've seen a lot of behavior that I'm like, if you weren't good looking, you would not get it. Not only would you not have a platform in the same way you do, because you have such small amounts of creativity that you literally, like, got there because you're hot, which, once again, I'm not knocking that. There's a lot of people that, like, their brand is that they're physically attractive and they utilize that and they make their money, and good on you. Like, use it to benefit, right? Like, go for it.
Yeah.
But when that is paired with having, like, no consequences because people are just like, oh, but they're so hot. Like, oh, but I want them to think I'm cute. Or, like, maybe one day I would be able to date them.
Yeah.
It's just exhausting because it's like, you know, if that person didn't look like that, they would not be getting that.
You would not be trying to impress them in any sense.
No. And it's just, it's so fucking exhausting.
Yeah. It's also a weird thing to see in such a big scale.
Yeah.
Because pretty privilege is one of those things that you experience, I would say, like, every day. Like, there have been, 100%. You know, jobs that I have started at the same time as people, and the other person that I've started with is, like, incredibly attractive, and they've gotten on with coworkers better.
Totally.
There's, you know, like, people I've literally seen it, like, people at airports getting better service because they are attractive, or, you know, running late to a flight and being let on easily because they're hot. Like, it's just, it's one of those things that I think happens so often, but then when you see it on social media in, like, its peak form, you're like, bleh.
And it's, like, documented in a way, right? Because I think, like anything, in a similar nature to, like, obviously not to the extreme, but, like, what I mean by this, I'll explain what I mean by this. Similar to white privilege in that when you grow up being white, you assume that's the way the world is.
Yes.
The way that you are treated and your privilege, you're not aware of it because your privilege is so just in your life that you don't even see it as bonuses.
Yeah.
You don't see it as privilege because it's just something that's there for you.
Yeah.
So, like, it takes unlearning to realize that those things are not there for other people. In the same way that for pretty people, or, like, generically good-looking people, or, like, skinny people, really fit people, and we'll get onto that, you know where I'm going with that, I don't even think, know it a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And I'm speaking for myself, too. Like, I'm not going to sit here and toot my own horn and say I'm, like, the hottest person on the planet. But I definitely have pretty privilege.
Oh, yeah.
Like, undeniably.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And so, like, I just needed to say that because it's, like, I hate saying that because it's, like, sounds like I'm being, like, I'm good looking.
Yeah.
But I also, like, don't want people to listen and be, like, why are you talking about pretty people that way when you get pretty privilege?
Yeah, totally.
So, like, I want to acknowledge that, too, that I definitely get privileged things. I have, I guarantee, many of followers that follow me just because they like the way I look.
Yeah.
I guarantee I had an easier time in high school because of the way I looked. Like, so, like, don't get me wrong. I see that. But I think a lot of pretty people don't even realize that they have the privilege because they think everyone's treated that way.
The trick is you got to do it. Like, because I'm super hot now, right?
All right.
But you got to do what I did because I was super outgo in high school. So now I know the two worlds.
You know the worlds. Yeah. You know the worlds. Okay, yeah.
I'm kidding, by the way.
But yeah, no. I think a lot of people don't even realize because they think that that's just how people were treated. They think everyone gets that chance. They think everyone, like, walks into a room and people want to talk to them or give them an opportunity to have a conversation or date them. Like, the fact even that this is such a social media, internet-based world and we're in a pandemic where people can't go to bars and, like, actually be able to converse to try and, like, you know, connect with someone. People swipe apps and are just looking at photos right there. Like, can you imagine the upper hand that someone has when they're generically attractive? And, they, like, if you're not that, you don't even get the chance to get past that step.
Exactly.
I hate the word impress, but impress someone enough to be like, okay, maybe if they're not as generically attractive, but they're so charismatic, they're so funny, they're so nice, they're a good person.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which is attractive within itself. And then there's all these pretty people that are getting that opportunity.
And it's so hard because I'm like, I wish I didn't ruin it initially with my looks because I would appreciate the chance to ruin it with my personality, you know?
Yes, totally.
That's really where I strive.
You want to get past that initial so then you can ruin everyone's
opinion on you afterwards. Yeah, I want to discuss them with the stuff that comes after
it. 100%. 100%.
Yeah.
But yeah, like something that Sean and I were talking about the other day is I watched Emma Chamberlain's new YouTube video.
Yeah.
And
you don't talk a lot of shit about, like, specific people on this podcast.
One of which is Emma Chamberlain.
I think, like, honestly, one of the only people that you've called out by name is Emma Chamberlain.
Which is, like, not just... I actually like Emma Chamberlain, which is the irony of it all. Like, I watch her videos.
When she makes vegan food, I'm all in.
I like her. I think she's funny. I think she seems like a nice person. She seems easygoing and down to earth. So I will say that. Honestly, part of the reason I probably...
She's also, like, one of the few fucking people that live in L.A. that haven't been, like...
Yeah, 100%.
Twerking in Miami.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, for New Year's Eve.
Yeah, 100%. So, like, that's the thing. Like, I probably part of the reason that I call her out as an example for certain things is because she's so big, and I actually don't think there's anything actually problematic about her.
Yeah.
That I am like, oh, she'll never even care or notice anyways. But maybe that's bad. Anyways, love you, Emma.
Love you, Emma. Time to drag
them. Time to drag you. No. So this isn't about her personally. And once again, this is not her fault. Like, it's someone's fault that they are pretty. You know what I mean?
Yes, yes, yes.
But... something that was very interesting to me is she recently uploaded a video that was like 21 looks for 2021 or something like that. So, you know, it came up on my homepage and I clicked on it and I thought I was like, okay, cute. She's like funny. She's really good with her editing and intros. I love it. Anyways. And every outfit she tried on, I couldn't see past the fact that so much of her style is like... so easily draggable if you weren't 90 pounds.
Well, yeah, I think that directly ties to people like Bella Hadid and Kendall Jenner.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was that whole thing earlier where people were like, wow, I really wish that I could dress like this. And it was like a vintage tee with like baggy denim shorts.
Yeah.
And then, like, people were like, oh, remember when these like two larger women were absolutely roasted for like going to Disneyland in the exact same outfit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was like, I remember that. And it was like a 90s kind of like butterfly vintage tee.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is, like, a lot of people, it's so embedded in our society that we don't even realize that we're giving it to those people. In the same way that you're giving pretty people a pass that you follow on Instagram when they're traveling, you also watch these videos and you go, oh my God, they have such cool style. I'm the same way. I see a picture of Kendall. I'm like, she looks so cool.
Yeah.
But then you have to check yourself and say, if this was on a plus size person.
Or someone of average weight.
Or even average weight. Like, seriously, just like average weight.
Like, yeah.
Average weight and size. Would that be a fashionable outfit? Like, would that be, would the comments be flooded with, oh my God, you have the coolest style.
I also love, speaking to the Emma video, she was like, oh, like, I really just love, like, clashing patterns and colors.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, if somebody else was to put on this outfit of clashing colors and patterns, you'd be like, what the fuck?
But because they're hanging off of bones, people are like, it looks stylish.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's wild.
Like, literally, one of the things that that she was wearing was, like, she went to, like, a gift store on Hollywood Boulevard and bought, like, one of those bejeweled t-shirts. And I literally said to Sean, I'm like, you could walk down, like, there's all those, like, people of Walmart and, like, all those, like, Instagram accounts that's literally making fun of bad fashion on usually fat people.
Mm-hmm.
And literally, like, they're wearing these bejeweled, like, Las Vegas t-shirts and stuff.
And everyone's like, how embarrassing.
Like, oh, ugly, how embarrassing, like, losers, blah, blah, blah. And then someone who's skinny with a following wears it, and people are like, oh,
fashion,
my God,
icon.
Never thought of that. Like, sell out the shelves at the gift shop. Like, you know, so it's like, I think something that has been actually a really good check for me this year, not only with COVID, but everything, has been with the people that I follow and the people in my life, taking a moment when people are making certain decisions or when I think something's cool and saying, do I think it's cool or okay because it's on them or it's what they're doing because I like them or I think they're cool, or is it like if I replace somebody else in their position that was maybe less generically attractive, that was, you know, not able-bodied, that was fat, that was maybe someone that I didn't personally like, if they were doing that, would I respect them in the same way, or think it was cool or attractive?
Would I still want to clear out the gift shop bejeweled t-shirts?
And, like, if the answer's no, I wouldn't think that's a fashionable outfit on anyone else, then it needs to be a check for me of saying, like, okay, this is what has been ingrained in me as society that, like, really what I'm looking at is, like, this person's body looks cool.
Yeah, I also get that a lot because I've realized now that I mostly like to wear clothes that I like or that fit my body or, you know, I have tried to start making less decisions based on what I see other people wear because I have such weird body proportions. Mm-hmm. Like, I have the world's longest torso that if I see, like, somebody wearing something, then I'm like, I'm going to wear that. And then I try it on. I'm like, oh, right.
Yes.
She doesn't work.
I feel the same way. Like, I used to get really triggered by that, actually.
Yeah.
Like, I would see certain things, even, like, on online stores, on models or, like, whatever. I'd order it in my size and then, as a lot of people I'm sure can relate to, it doesn't look for some reason because there are embedded, like, body issues and what society tells us looks cool. It doesn't look as cool on us all of a sudden when you put it on your body because it doesn't, like, hang off you in your made up right ways. I'm not saying this is true.
Oh my
I'm
God.
Saying it's
everything
learned,
your brain thinks
right?
is wrong.
Yeah. It's just like this learned understanding. And then I'll literally be so upset and like hating myself and my body over it because I don't look like that person who is a size zero in it.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's so ridiculous. So I've also had to do that where I'm like, okay, I need to order things for my body, not because I think it looks cool on them.
Yeah.
And I also need to start, once again, checking myself on, like, who am I following? Who am I supporting? Who am I surrounding myself with friendship-wise? And do I agree with who they are and what they've stood for this year as a person? And a lot of, unfortunately, with a lot of friendships, or just even internet relationships, or just people I'm a fan of, that's changed this year. I did unfollow, I cleansed myself. I've, you know, unfortunately had to disconnect from some people just because I'm like, I can't be online talking about this every day and being like, I believe in this and I think this is wrong, and then being okay with it when so-and-so does it.
Yeah.
Like, that's so hypocritical.
Yeah. You're a fucking hypocrite.
I was, but now I am cleansed of the hypocrisy.
Okay.
You're like, we won't go that far.
Yeah,
we have a long way to go. I'm still growing.
There you go.
But not mentally or spiritually.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I don't know how much we talked about a certain topic.
I don't know if we ever talk about a single topic.
That's so true. I always kind of get worried at the end of an episode. And I'm like, did we talk about what we said we were going to talk about? And then I'm like,
Never. Not
no,
once.
We don't.
Not once.
You all know what to expect at this point.
Hot garbage.
All right. Well, wherever you're listening, we love you. We appreciate you. Thanks for tuning in. Make sure to follow or subscribe. We're going to get there. It's been a long day. And also, go click that link in our Instagram bio at I Can Explain Podcast. Lots of fun stuff there. And until next time, we will see you around the neighborhood.
It's hot.
I know.